This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. As head coach of the men's basketball team at Georgetown, John Thompson built the program into a powerhouse. When he arrived at the school, the team's record was 3-23. He changed that trajectory with a clear vision and plan. Thompson created Hoya Paranoia with winning teams in the 80s. The list of his many accomplishments is long and includes coaching 27 seasons at Georgetown, 20 seasons of which led to appearances in the NCAA tournament. And John Thompson was the first black coach to win an NCAA title in 1984. When he himself was a young man applying to colleges, Thompson says he never even considered applying to Georgetown, whose own basketball team remained entirely white until 1967. He attended Providence College on the recommendation of the famed coach Red Auerbach, who ultimately drafted Thompson to play for the Celtics. But after two seasons with the team, Thompson decided to follow a different path, which ultimately led to his legendary coaching career. John Thompson's influence extended far beyond buckets. It went into education and policy and teaching his players to be confident and proud of themselves and their blackness. He recruited players like Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo, and Allen Iverson. Iverson credits Thompson for saving his life, which he did. Once a hot property for college recruiters, Iverson was wrongly implicated in a brawl and jailed as a teenager. Thompson welcomed him when others shunned him. When John Thompson passed away in August 2020, a clip of Iverson at his 2016 Hall of Fame induction speech explaining his love for Thompson went viral. This is Allen Iverson.
I want to thank Coach Thompson. Coach Thompson for saving my life. For giving me the opportunity. I was recruited by every school in the country for football and basketball. And an incident happened in high school, and all that was taken away. No other teams, no other schools were recruiting me anymore. My mom went to Georgetown and begged him to give me a chance, and he did. And that's crazy to think that you're the best football player in the world, which I did, and to be sitting up here as a Hall of Famer in basketball. You tell me God ain't good.
Before Coach Thompson passed away at 78, he'd written an autobiography titled I Came as a Shadow. ESPN's undefeated senior writer Jesse Washington co-authored the autobiography, and he joins us now. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and we're so happy that Coach Thompson's son, Ronnie Thompson, can join us as well. Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. So, Jesse, you know, you had to audition for the gig to co-author this book, and John chose you. Now, you're a sports journalist, so you know he had a presence, and there was a mythology around John Thompson. What of the mythology and the legend proved to be true, and what wasn't?
Man, that's what the whole book is about, is mm-hmm. Coach really giving his opinion on these myths and legends that sprang up around him. And he didn't want to talk about the legends too much. You know, he was very modest in his assessment of what he did. But he did want to set the record straight on a lot of things about the perception of him as trying to bully or intimidate people, of the perception of him as being a racist and things like that. So he addressed those things and really said what should have been obvious all these years to anybody who was paying attention.
Ronnie, what were some of your father's priorities in wanting to tell his life story?
I think the biggest thing is he wanted the book to reflect himself through and through. He didn't want it to be something that was interpreted from the writer. He wanted it to be in his words. And I think Jesse did an awesome job in capturing that. I think in the actual book itself, he wanted people to get a feeling for him. You know, he gave a lot, but as he told Jesse, he said, I'm not giving you everything. but he still wanted the reader to get a feel for what he was, who he was, without, because through so much of his career, his life had been interpreted from other people, whether it be from writers, whether it be from television analysts, and he wanted to kind of give the impression or give the reader or his fans or the public a sneak peek at who he was through his eyes.
Ronnie, the book's title comes from a poem by one of your relatives, one of John's uncle, Lewis Grandison Alexander, and you are kind enough to read it for us. Could you?
Sure. I came as a shadow. I stand now a light. The depth of my darkness transfigures your night. My soul is a nocturne. Each note is a star. The light will not blind you, so look where you are. The radiance is soothing. There's warmth and delight. I came as a shadow to dazzle your night.
Jesse, how is that poem reflective of the way Thompson lived his life?
It took a while for him to say so, but he identifies with that shadow, you know. But on a deeper level, and there's always a deeper level with Coach Thompson, mm-hmm. his uncle, Lewis Grandison Alexander, was the first person he saw to be celebrated for his intelligence. Coach Thompson grew up in segregated America in the 40s and 50s, and the only black folks who were held up as successful were athletes, Joe Louis, Jackie Robinson, folks like that. But here comes this poet, and people are praising him for using his mind. And Coach Thompson, at a young age, said, wow, I've never seen that before. I aspire to be that. And so then later, when he becomes familiar with this beautiful poem, he identifies with his uncle as an intelligent black man, and he identifies with the image of the shadow coming and initially scaring people, but at the end of the day, shedding light and illuminating things we did not see before.
My guests are Jesse Washington. He co-authored I Came as a Shadow with John Thompson. And we're also speaking to Coach Thompson's son, Ronnie Thompson. So let's go back to the earlier. John Thompson's born, raised in D.C. from hardworking people. His mother was well-educated, trained to be a teacher, but couldn't find work in her field. Happened to so many people at that time. She was a house cleaner. His father worked in a tile factory, up every day at 5 a.m., worked very hard, but could not read. They lived in subsidized housing. Yet I got from the book, Ronnie, that he was not taught to feel lesser in any way by his family. That came, you know, that's later in the outside world. Ronnie, what impact did the way your dad grew up have on the way he approached his work?
That's a great question. I think you made a good point in that even though he grew up, you know, not having a lot materialistically, his mom was educated, but his father wasn't. She had to do what Pop called day's work, to make ends meet. But as he says in the book, without giving away too much, is he said he never felt that he was poor. He never felt that he was less than. He said he thought that he was middle class. He said he didn't realize that he was poor until he went away to college and then started to see life through a different lens. He started to see all the things that everyone else had. And, you know, I think that, as always, when you gain knowledge and you see or begin to realize, you know, your status or where you are, you want to strive for more. You want to try to reach another level. And I think that's exactly what he did. Like, he began to realize, you know, there's so much more out here. There's so much more that I can attain. And he wanted to attain those things while his parents were alive to a certain degree so that he could show them, you know, a different side of things. Like my dad, he loved to play the slot machines, and he just wishes he had reached a certain level before my grandfather died so he could take his dad to play the slots, just to show him, like he said, his dad liked to play penny slots. He said, if I were to give him $20 and say, play the slots, he said, he would just be in heaven. Like, he couldn't believe he wouldn't be able to believe that I would give him $20 to waste on slots. Like, just little things like that. Mm-hmm. I think it pushed him to reach levels that I think that he thought that he was capable of, but didn't know at a young age that he was able to attain.
And while we're talking about his family, Jesse, we have to talk about the white towel over his shoulder when he was coaching. It became such a signature. He was presented one at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. What was the significance of the white towel? How does that come back to family?
Little did everybody know who said, oh, there goes big, fat, scary, bully Coach John Thompson, that he was a mama's boy. Mm-hmm. And Coach Thompson's mother wore a towel over her shoulder when she worked in the kitchen to clean up around the house, things like that. And so when he began coaching in high school in the 60s at St. Anthony's in Washington, D.C., he put the towel over his shoulder to remember his mother and his father and to have them there with him at the game.
Let's talk about the culture he wanted to create at Georgetown. One pivotal thing that brought him to Georgetown was he had an emphasis on sort of managing the athletes' academic lives and also just their lives and teaching them to be young men. On page 107, he wrote, I had specific advice in mind as I built the foundation of our program. Today they call it creating a culture. Our players unloaded their own bags from the bus. The managers didn't do it for them. We required players to clean up after themselves and to thank our managers and trainers, not treat them like servants. We wore jackets and ties while traveling, never sweatsuits. We didn't talk loud in restaurants or sit in the back of sofas in hotel lobbies. I wore glasses knowing that they represented intelligence and challenged assumptions based on my size and blackness. None of these things were about playing basketball. Jesse, what was the culture he wanted to create?
Man, pride, intelligence, discipline, and then when the whistle blew, they're going to get after it and get in your grill. It was a real balance that he had. He was a ferocious competitor. He really loved the game of basketball and was driven to win. But at the same time, he knew that there was more important things sometimes that would prevent you from winning. You know, if a kid is struggling in school, I can't have him out here on the court. I got to have him studying, getting his grades up, but that's going to keep me from winning. So the culture that he created was one of excellence, of academic achievement. You will graduate. And if you do not go to class, if you don't study like you're supposed to, I will kick you out. The school won't have to do it. But at the same time, he was really driven to win. And I'm sure Ronnie could tell you about how tough some of his practices were and how much he was getting on these kids. There's one story that I really remember from the book where kids were goofing around in practice one day in the late 70s, and Coach blew the whistle and stopped everybody and said, look, I am going to win a national championship. You can either be here or not be here. So, these are the type of things that he did when he was when he was preparing these young men for basketball and for life.
Ronnie, your dad advocated. Yeah, go for it.
I just want to piggyback on the excerpt that you read before Jesse started talking. When he was talking about the eyeglasses he wore or some of the things he did, and I think in the book, Jesse, I hope I'm not saying too much, but so let me know. But in the book, he wanted to make people realize that it was a method to his madness. Like nothing happened accidentally, that it was well thought out, that it was a plan. Like he was trying to create a culture and he had a vision for it to happen. Because throughout so much of his career, it was just portrayed oftentimes as just Georgetown's teams were brute strength. That the intellectual aspect of it, there was nothing put into it. They were just bigger, stronger, and had this big, black, strong coach, and they just ran over people. So I think in part, it was very important to him to reveal that there was thought process put into him doing and becoming who he ultimately ended up becoming.
Jesse, did you get a sense of there was anything that John Thompson regretted in his life or might have done differently?
Yes. He said it a lot in his book. I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. And he discusses some of them in the book, choices that he made, one or two players that he brought in. And it's funny because he puts the blame on himself. He says, I shouldn't have brought this kid there, but I overestimated my ability to change him. And then he also says, but the reason I brought him was because he was the best player in the city. And Coach was really transparent about his motivations, and they were complex. Yes, I'm trying to help kids better themselves, but I wasn't trying to help any short, slow guys. I'm going to help guys who can help me win. So some of the mistakes that he made were related to his competitiveness and his desire to win games. And then when you're in the situations that he was, under pressure, making thousands of decisions over the course of a career from large to small that affect people's lives, you're going to make mistakes. And he acknowledges that. He acknowledges that some of his players don't like him because he says that's what happens in a teaching environment. So I was definitely intrigued and surprised by some of the admissions that Coach made in his book.
Ronnie, if you have to leave
one
adjective to describe your dad, what would it be?
I just give one?
You can have three. I'll give you three.
You know, it's tough to pick a word or a few words because I think he's so multi-layered.
How about multi-layered?
And that might be the word. That might be the word, multi-layered. That might be the word. And I think that Jesse, I don't know what his thoughts were of Pop coming into doing the book. And we've spent an awful lot of time together.
And Ronnie, we have about about 30 seconds left.
Getting to know Jesse. But I think that Jesse was able to see the multi-layers that Pop went through in his final days as well.
The name of the book is I Came as a Shadow, an autobiography of Georgetown University's basketball coach John Thompson. Ronnie Thompson and Jesse Washington, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for this book.
Awesome.
You're
thank
quite
you.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.